Hey, listeners, you are now tuned into episode 10 of I Watch That, where we cover phase four of the MCU. It's been a very long time. This episode was supposed to come out in June. It is October. Lots of stuff was going on with both of us. Life kind of got in the way. So we've delayed the season finale by many months, but we're here now. We're going to get into, like we said, phase four. It's exciting. Before we start, remember to follow our socials if you haven't already. I underscore watched underscore that on Instagram and Twitter. So today, for a little refresher, I'm going to get into Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I'm gonna do the everything. Every phase, everything Captain America related. And Kyle has Spider-Man No Way Home.
Of
It's
course.
going to be a fun episode. Kyle was super excited to talk about this. I think he's seen the movie like 50 times.
Only three times, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, it's a great
I'll
movie, so
definitely see it more. I just haven't gotten to
I wouldn't
it
blame you if you did watch it 50 times. So let's get into this debate of an episode, but it's not really a debate, so it's fine. Kyle, you can go first. Give us a brief
Okay.
summary of No Way Home.
Okay, so No Way Home just starts basically right after Far From Home, in which his identity, Peter Parker's identity, is exposed from Mysterio, right? So then, yeah, it's basically the first, like, that's like the opening of the movie, basically. But it also the main part of the movie is that basically there's a doctor. He wants to basically reverse that and make people just forget that, like, they know he's Spider-Man. Like Peter Parker. So he goes to Doctor Strange, they kind of mess up a spell, oopsies. And then it like unleashes like other Spider-Man villains from other movies. And so it's basically just that's like basically the premise of the movie. And it's them putting them back, basically. Yeah, it's like basically from the trailer. So yeah, that's pretty much what the movie's about. And it's kind of obviously like most Spider-Man stories, him dealing with being Spider-Man and being Peter Parker, and kind of having trouble struggling with dealing with like both, you know, and the danger comes with it, which I think that's mostly the main part of the movie, is that the danger of being Spider-Man and how it affects his loved ones, his friends, and his family. Yeah. And like I would say, the main villain's obviously Green Goblin, played by the wonderful Willem Dafoe, right? Oh my god, amazing. Honestly, I'm really honestly like I was like at first when I was like when they were like making this movie, I was like I'm sure if this was gonna be a good idea, because I'm like they're just, you know, doing the same thing, they're getting the same people. Like I kind of wanted them to just like get new people to play the different the villains. Like I wanted to see Green Goblin, but like, you know, like a third version of it. But honestly, like after seeing the movie, I was like, no, that was a good idea. It was like perfect. It was just like they knew that people love Green Goblin and Alfred Molina as Doc Ock. So like it was a good idea. But I feel like this movie was a juggling act. Like you really like honestly, it could have been really bad.
Yeah, well, I think
Could have.
between what you told me and then like reports of what I was reading was that they were writing it as it was being filmed.
Kind of, yeah, which is honestly kind of like Iron Man, which is funny. But yeah, they did do that a bit. Like also, like they didn't plan to do the multiverse thing, I don't think.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Especially since like the second one, if you don't remember, Ben, like in the Far From Home, it's literally said that like you basically believe for the first half of that movie that Mysterio is from actually from a different universe, and he says the multiverse is real, but he was lying.
Well, they're so
But in fact,
lucky.
he. Yeah, but in fact, he was right. There is one.
They're
So,
so
like,
lucky that with this movie, everything fell into place. Like, I think. Like, because all the rumors were like, oh my God, all three Spider-Mans together, the multiverse. And that literally happened by fluke. Because I
yes, of
think the
course.
director was, I think he reached out to them like last minute. So it really depended if they were like, yes or no, if it was even going to happen like that. Wow,
Yeah, that
crazy.
is true, actually. Yeah, and I think also Drew Garfield, he didn't accept it until Tobey Maguire accepted. He said he didn't want to do it if only if Tobey Maguire accepted to do it.
Wow. Well, thank God he
Yeah.
said yes.
Yeah, I think they've read the script, like, oh, this is good. I'm assuming that probably wasn't like the full script, but like I think they just probably believed in the writers and director, you know? Because
Yeah.
they obviously saw the other two Spider-Man movies, right? And they like Tom Holland, who doesn't?
I know.
But yes, I guess we're talking about all the characters. I guess I'll get into like my favorite or least favorite character.
Of course, yeah.
I'll just start with like the least favorite.
Yeah.
They're not bad. It's just like they have the least screen time and they're kind of just there to be like basically just spectacle, the Lizard and Sandman.
True.
I did appreciate having them there because it was cool. I think they're very cool villains, and I really liked the Lizard from The Amazing Spider-Man. Honestly, like slightly underrated, even though his plan from that movie is a little hokey.
Yeah.
That is what the comic is. He just wants to turn into a lizard. He's like, that's the best thing ever.
Yeah.
To be lizard people. I realized that they got the same actors, even though it was just mostly just voice roles. And Sandman's
Yeah.
like, they're cool villains. Like that was, it was fun to see them. And obviously the whole point is to get all these five villains because from the other five Spider-Man movies, you know, like from the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man movies and then Tobey Maguire's. But they're like probably my least favorite because they're just kind of there. And their motivations are kind of simple, I guess, because like literally Sandman's just like, yo, I wanna go back home. I just want to go back
Yeah.
home. Like, he's not trying to be evil or anything. He kind of just gets wrapped up to it. And then the
Yeah.
lizard's just kind of there being the lizard. So he's just like a monster, basically. I do wish they kind of changed his design a little bit.
Yeah.
Want to look more of a little snout. But you know what? I get why they didn't do it because then it might have looked a little too weird. But yeah, they're probably my least favorite. Obviously, my favorite is Peter.
Not which one?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Thank you. That's actually okay. Peter one, which is Tom Holland's Peter, which I think I'm just gonna say the real names just to make it that more direct.
Yeah, 'cause I'm already like I'm like fart brain farting. I can't
It is
remember which one's which.
confusing because they have the
I mean, I'm disappointed though. It wasn't like Tobey Maguire Peter one, and then they didn't do it in like
yeah,
Spider-Man
that
order
was
because they could
weird.
have done it by age because it still makes sense. Tobey Maguire's
It
Peter's
does.
older, so he should have been Peter one.
Yeah, much
Second
older.
oldest is Andrew Garfield. He should have been Peter two. It would have
Yes.
made sense that way. But I get it, it's
It
Tom
would have made
Holland's movie,
sense.
whatever.
It's his movie. It's his movie. That's also what I was afraid of too, is that that's why I was like worried about this movie, because I'm like, oh my God, like this is his movie. Are they gonna like overshadow it? They don't. They support it like in the perfect way possible, which I'll get
Yeah.
into. But obviously, Tom Holland's Peter is the best one, obviously. It's his movie, it's his trilogy, okay? It's his universe.
It's his universe. We're all just living in it.
Basically. But yeah, he's the best. I think basically it's weird because after watching the movie, I realized, without giving spoilers really, it's just basically that I realized that the entire trilogy, like his movies, like the home trilogy, I guess you could call it, I don't really know. But all three of them, like instead of one movie being an origin story, I feel like all three of them are kind of his own origin story a little bit. Like after
Okay, yeah.
watching all of them, in a way, it kind of is, especially this one where it kind of like sums it up. And now he's like actually, because I feel like at the end of this movie, he's like very classic Spider-Man, you know? Like he's kind of like he's still like in the MCU, which I was actually slightly worried that Sony was going to do something and take him out of it, but they didn't, thank God. I was so worried about that. But I think he's very classic Spider-Man at the end, you know, kind of like independent, even more poor, which was nice. I like when they do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, without giving too much away, I just like that they also, I like that this movie, out of all, even though I did like the past two movies, this movie really has like really big stakes, you know? And it is quite funny, but it's definitely the most serious, like out of all the three of them, and probably one of the most serious like MCU movies. For it being very lighthearted and jokey, and like the banter between all the Spider-Mans, it's very, at the end, it's quite serious and it's like has like big impact, you know? And I think what really did that was the main villain was Green Goblin,
Right.
from Willem Dafoe, the same character from like the original Spider-Man movies. I thought he was brilliant. Like he's not in it really that much, but he's like truly like one of the like not in, just the best, one of the best, like, Spider-Man villains, but, like, one of the best MCU villains, I guess, now, because, like, he technically is one, I guess. But, yeah, he was great. Like, I love the physicality? Yes, physicality of it. I love that they showed his face. I'm glad they didn't use, I'm, like, I love that they just, like, showed his mask for, like, literally 1 second. They're like, no, we're not doing that. It's cringe. Because he doesn't need, like, the mask always thought was kind of stupid. Like, he, you know, Wonderful has, like, a very expressive face, and it's, like,
exactly.
Scary a little bit.
Oh, very. Very scary.
So, yeah, it's very scary. And I love the redesign. I thought that was brilliant. Like, it's, like, he's still wearing the original suit, but they kind of put, like, a little purple on it. And I thought that was brilliant. Like, he even has a satchel from the comics, which I thought was even so, it was really cool, too. But yeah, I love the redesign on him's great. Electra's redesign's also amazing. Oh my god. Like, insanely better. But yeah, he's like the main villain, and he's basically just leading these other villains. And I would say, like, the main three, I guess, are like Doc, Ock, Electra, and Green Goblin, which I think that's what they, I feel like they focus, because they obviously couldn't focus on all the villains, so I feel like they did balance all of them correctly. And also just chose Goblin as, like, the main one. Like, I thought that was brilliant. So I think all the villains were pretty good. Jamie Foxx was really good. Like, he really, like, sold the show in this movie. Like, and he has, like, a good amount of screen time, too.
Yeah, and his look is a lot better.
Yeah, also just, I think it really, really works. It's just not as much CGI. It's perfect.
Yeah.
It was just, we needed less, and it was absolutely perfect. But, yeah, all the villains are great. Aunt May's great. Happy's great. And also, like, I was, my favorite three characters are obviously the trio, though, like Ned and MJ and Tom Holland's Peter. They're the best. Like, they're like, they give me like Hermione, like Ron, Harry Potter vibes.
Okay, I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I just feel like I feel like it's that, like, level of friendship, you know? It's just like that, like, closeness, you know? It's just like, I don't know, it's just perfect. They really sell it, and it really is intense at the end. I don't want to spoil it too much, but it's really intense at the end, very emotional.
We'll spoil it. It's been a very long time.
It has been out, so should I just say it?
Yeah, just like, fuck it, let it rip out, man. Just
let it rip. Okay, so basically, like, he does, you know, the fact that he doesn't, to fix everything, he has to make everyone forget him, which is, like, heartbreaking. And then, like, that scene with him saying bye to MJ, you know, and they do the final kiss, but then they don't say I love you because she wants her to say when she finds him. And then he's saying bye to Ned, which is, like, honestly is equally as sad, like, both, you know, losing his best friend and, like, the whole of his life. It's so sad. And then I loved that, because I wasn't sure what he was gonna do. Like, I was like, oh, is he gonna, like, get them back? But I'm really glad he did, because he finally, like, learned this lesson. And especially, I think what really got it is when he sees the cut on MJ's face. Like, that was probably it. Mm-hmm. When he's in the cafe, I think that was probably to realize he's like, yeah, I should probably, like, leave them alone, and maybe this is what it should be, you know. It's heartbreaking and sad, but honestly it makes like his character arc, like, perfect, realizing that he needs to be responsible and not put his loved ones in danger, especially when he doesn't need to, right? And don't make so much mistakes.
don't make them,
because this movie is just completely his fault. Like, he's the one that like did the spell. Like, it's not Dr. Strange's fault. He's the one that chose him to let him do the spell, you know? Like,
and he kept interrupting him, and no, wait, no, like, oh my god, shut up, kid.
Oh my god, friend. But I would say obviously that's my favorite, like, arc is Peter's, is like, because that's like the main arc basically. But yeah, I really do think, like, honestly, this is probably I think I, like, argued for a while, but I think, I don't know, I think this is my favorite, like, live action superhero movie. And I feel like the Interstellar-verse is just as great, but, like, in a completely different way, you know? Also, it's completely different characters too, so I feel like it's, and different mediums, so I feel like it's, like, hard to compare them, really. Except the fact they do use the multiverse, the same thing.
Yeah.
But I feel like they use it in different ways that really, like, make it really good. Like, I feel like I was worried, I remember when this movie was coming out, because, like, they are just using multiverse again. And I was worried, like, are they going to do the same thing as Into the Spider-Verse? But they really did it. So I'm glad they, like, figured out their own thing, and it, like, really works. And of course, what was it? Oh, Andrew Garfield's Peter, amazing. The entrances, Tobey Maguire's Peter, perfect.
Yeah.
I love it when MJ like throws the bread.
Yeah, that was funny.
It was good. Oh my god, and then Ned's grandma, perfect.
It was so funny. I like those were my favorite when they favorite yeah. scenes.
I love how she was like so charmed by Tobey Maguire's Peter. It was so funny. but yeah, I know they were great, obviously. My favorite scene is like I would just say obviously the final battle sequence at the Statue of Liberty when all the villains, like all Spider-Men are fighting. And all the villains are fighting. Like I was watching this, I was like, "Oh my god, this is just like pure joy. Like it's just perfect."
Yeah.
You know, it's just like absolutely perfect. Like I never thought I was ever gonna see this in my life, but I did. And it's just, oh my god, it's perfect. I thought also all the little callbacks, like when Tobey Maguire's Peter sees Doc Ock, and they had a little callback from Spider-Man 2 was perfect. Even like the little scene between Andrew Garfield's Peter and the lizard was even like was also pretty good too. Like I just not just lizard but also his scene with Electro was also pretty great too. I really liked that scene. Really good. Like I feel like actually like he has like a little arc Electro, which I thought was pretty well done. You know, of him like being a nobody and stuff. Yeah, but just like the whole sequence of how it ends, just like a, and then, ooh, I love the fight scene between like Tom Holland's Peter and then Goblin, like how visceral it was.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, what, friend, what'd you say?
No, I said, of course, yeah.
Yeah, it was just really visceral, loved it, and I loved that, what was it? Oh, Tom McGuire's Peter stops him from doing like, you know, murder, which is great. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great that he stopped him from doing it. It was perfect. And oh my god, Andrew Garfield's Peter is saving Gwen Stacy. Like,
yeah.
That was intense.
It was.
As a fan of the Joker movies, that was like actually so meaningful. Even though I saw it coming, obviously. It was just like so well done. Oh my god, it was great. And then obviously though, I think it's probably my favorite like action sequence, but my favorite like really normal scene, like emotional scene is definitely the Aunt May scene. Like that was intense.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I actually did accidentally spoil myself before seeing it, unfortunately, because comments were stupid. But I didn't believe it. So I just straight up didn't believe that was the truth. So I just was like, no, they're not gonna kill Aunt May. But then honestly, when it was happening, I was like, holy shit, this is like really intense. Like wow. Also, it's like the second time this has happened in the past few years because spoilers for the Spider-Man PS4 game, but like that came out 4 years ago, so like doesn't really matter. But the same thing happens, Aunt May also dies in that. So it's just like really intense. Like honestly, killing Aunt May, it's like really fucked up, honestly. But I get why they did it though. It made sense for the story. And she's like basically his Uncle Ben now, which that's what I figured out. I was like, oh, that's what they were just trying to do, is that all three movies were like an origin story, and I thought that was really, mm-hmm. really brilliant, honestly, like really, really good idea. But yeah, that's like pretty much it though. Yeah.
Well, listeners, that's Kyle on Spider-Man No Way Home. Thank you for that. So I said I'd be talking about Falcon and the Winter Soldier. So
yes,
my favorite, least favorite character. Obviously my favorites are Sam and Bucky. Like how can you go wrong? They're an incredible duo. Least favorite, obviously John Walker. Obviously, like I don't even need to say that. Why? Okay, Sam and Bucky have been there forever. Period. End of story.
It is true.
John Walker. Like, how do you do Sam dirty like that? Say, hey, we're getting the shield back. Because it belongs to Steve and America and blah, blah, blah. We're going to put it away. And then, like, the day later, give it to some white dude who's in the military. Come on. So, I don't like John Walker because I think he's too entitled. I think he's like, I was in the military. I did my time. Everybody should love me. I'm Captain America now. And then, you know, how he desecrated, essentially, the shield by, I don't know if he beheaded the person or just stomped them and, like, shoved, like, bashed it into their chest or something, but
I feel like it was a chest.
Either way, he killed someone with the shield.
Yeah, so. It was intense.
Yeah. Kind of at the end, I guess, because even at the end of the show, they're kind of already pushing that redemption arc for him a little bit, you know? So it's like, yeah, I guess I can get it. Like, if he's not Captain America, I don't care. So
yeah,
do whatever, yeah. Be U.S. agent or whoever they're going to turn you into. What is he going to be in? Is he in Thunderbolts?
Oh. Yes, he's in Thunderbolts. Excuse with me. Bucky, weirdly enough.
Oh, can't wait to see that.
also better be in the Captain America movie. Like, I hope he is. Right, man? Like, I really
they're really not saying much about it. Yeah. I just know that we all know that who the new Captain America is, and that's kind of it.
And the new Falcon, too. The
right.
Yeah.
His friend that he gave the wings to. I can't remember his name.
The Latino guy. He's Latino.
Who was in Top Gun.
He was also in Top Gun. Great in Top Gun. But, yeah.
Yes. That's awesome.
The new Falcon. That's awesome. Yeah, and it's from the comic book. So I saw that. I was like, that's not surprising. Makes sense.
Least favorite is also Sharon, but that's just because you realize, like, you find out she's the power broker and she's sketchy AF. Her aunt would not be happy. That's all I'm saying.
No, right? No. Agreed. Not happy at all. Like, disappointed.
Yeah, I would be too. What else? So my favorite storyline and character arc, definitely Sam, because he kind of goes from, and like, I get it, you know, he's, like he says, he's a black man, no way they're gonna let him be Captain America, let alone be happy about him being Captain America, but kind of him going through the motions of coming to terms with it's what he has to do, and the public has to, like, basically kind of suck it up. That's not what he says, but it's just like, Steve wanted him, he gave him the shield. You know, wherever Steve is, exactly. On the moon, in a retirement home, deceased, I don't know.
He's deceased.
No. I don't even want him as Captain America. I just want him back. Just as an old citizen walking around. Yeah. I knew him. You know, something like that. I don't know. But, I know. Then bring back Chris Evans as Human Torch or whatever the hell he was. Anyways.
That'd be crazy if they did that. Like, honestly, if they did.
He said he'd
that,
come back to the MCU to do that. That's basically the only role he would do. So let's see. We'll see. Probably not, we'll see.
I feel like probably not. I feel like he's good.
Yeah, he's still, even though he's been out of the MCU for so many years, he's still not pumping out enough content. I want him on SNL right now. But I'm not even talking about the show now. But so my favorite storyline is Sam, like I said, because he goes from, you know, not wanting to be to wanting to be, and I think in a pretty kick-ass suit, doing a great job.
Oh, great.
Trying to bring unity and, you know, change policy and whatever. It's pretty important shit he's doing. Mm-hmm. Oh, I did like Isaiah as well. Sorry, I did forget to mention that.
That's what I was going to mention him. I just couldn't quite remember the name. Who's also in the Captain America movie.
Yes.
I'm also really glad he's in that too. But yeah, he was great. Amazing actor. I think I've seen him in other stuff. Can't quite name it. But yeah, he was great. I thought learning about that backstory was like really brilliant. Like such, like very, very compelling. Really compelling stuff. I like that they did that. And it's also from the comic. They didn't make it up. So. Yeah, very
cool. Yeah, so I did like him. I thought it was an interesting, like little subplot, you know, sub storyline to learn about that. And, you know, just how I think a lot of people don't like this show because they like the magic and, like, they like the Lokis and the Wandas and the Doctor Stranges.
The high fantasy stuff.
Exactly, but this is, real people shit, you know? Like, it's a show that is very blatantly tackling the racism problem of, I'd like to say America, probably the world, but they're focusing on the U.S. for obvious reasons. Yeah. But, I think it's great because it shows a realistic perspective, because even now people are just like, that's not Captain America. And these are fans of the MCU. And then like Chris Evans will have to go on Twitter and be like, I'm not Captain America. Steve's not Captain America. You know, Sam is Captain America. And they're like, well, no, you're my Captain America. It's like, bitch, shut the fuck up. It happened in the comic books, you know, like, because you'll have that tiny percent that's like, oh, it's the woke MCU. They want a black Captain America. It's like,
those people are so annoying.
Anytime anything is like a person of color, a black person,
yeah,
a woman, the MCU is so woke. They had to make a female version of the Hulk. Excuse me, she's been around for decades.
Yeah, for decades. Also, it's just like, you know, there's like people that, like, not all people are white straight people, so
you're
like...
not the demographics anymore, buddy.
You know, like,
I don't think there's anything wrong with Sam being Captain America. Like, it just makes sense, just personality wise. He's just,
yeah,
character wise, it makes sense. So,
yeah,
he's my favorite. I just like Captain America, so obviously, he'll still be my favorite character.
Of course,
be it Steve or Sam. But I don't know. I think She-Hulk's my favorite. I really want to talk about her, but I can't because.
We can do that another time.
Perhaps. We got to do that another time because I love that show. My favorite episode is the final one, One World, One People. Because, like, everything, you know, it came together. Sam shows out in his cool new outfit, where Falcon and Captain America are combined. Yeah. Like, you know, their gadgets are combined and the look is super cool.
Mm-hmm. Bucky. Also, Condon.
Yes.
Condon.
So he's got that bling on him, you know. Bucky looks like he's doing better. Sam and Bucky are a unit. I like the barbecue.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm with his sister.
I know they got it on, or they will. I need it to happen.
Oh my god. Oh my god, when she's in the Better Bowls movie, that'd be wild.
And he's just like, hey, you know, me and your sister, I know Captain America won't be in it. But yeah, so that
is, honestly, maybe. Who knows?
We'll maybe see. A little.
You never know. You never know.
I know.
I hope so. Right. That'd be fun.
So Sam and Bucky are like a unit by this point. Sam's Captain America. Buddies. That ending, like that little nod to Isaiah Thomas in that little museum thing, because it's just. It's just people found it boring, but it's like, this is just America, bro. Like, and it's important to those comics and people who say, oh, you know, MCU is not political, Star Wars isn't political. It's like, do you watch these things? Like, what's wrong
with Star Wars? Is very political.
Isn't Captain America all about like fighting Nazis and shit? Like, what are you talking about? It's not political.
Yeah, that's like, actually, it was like the most political Captain America, like that cover art where he's punching like Hitler in the face.
Yeah.
Like, they did that on purpose.
So, you know, simpleton MCU fan, incel, whatever.
True.
But, and I like how it just like the variations like of Captain America. So you have the original one, which is Steve. And Steve is the embodiment of what America thinks it is as a whole. Mm-hmm. And then you get John Walker, which is. Ooh. What America is, period. He is what America is. I mean, he didn't seem racist, but let's add a little flair of racism and, you know, boom, that's what America is. And then you have Sam, and that's what America should strive to be like.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know,
and
not to get political, like,
yeah.
But I don't think that's happening.
No.
And I just think that the show, I think it got shat on a bit too much for being boring and slow and blah blah blah, but honestly I think it's just all the shows get that because a lot of MCU fans aren't used to MCU in a television format.
Yeah, which honestly I love it. I think, like, besides Spider-Man, most of this, my favorite stuff in Phase 4 has been the shows, like, honestly, like, truly fantastic. Like, I really love what they did with, like, basically every show they've done so far is like quite different, you know. Especially like Falcon Winter Soldier, She-Hulk, like completely different types of shows. And I like how you can like, you know, with 6 episodes or 9 episodes, you can really like go in depth with the character and just have like a normal scene with them that you couldn't not fit in a movie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Like a lot of scenes in the show, you cannot fit like that into a movie. It'd be impossible, right?
Yeah.
So I'm glad he had this before he was in a movie, you know? I think it was a good idea.
And it's definitely like, way smarter for introducing new characters because you get that time with them, like I mean, we all know Sam obviously, but now this is how who came to be Captain America, because like you said, you couldn't fit all of this into a movie. How would they do it?
No,
I mean, it'd be very cut down and whatnot, and I think they even did cut down a lot more because of COVID and when they filmed it, so they didn't
I did hear about that.
So that mm-hmm. was the issue with the original few shows, was because of COVID, a lot of stuff was cut out. When production wasn't like up to whatever, I guess 100%, but like, you know, for Captain America, for Moon Knight, for Hawkeye, for, you know, go on and on, She-Hulk, blah, 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 blah. These shows help flesh them out a lot more and what's going to come in the MCU for movies and whatnot. Yeah, I think it was a good show. Yeah. I liked it.
I liked it too, Fran. I actually really like the grounded Marvel stuff. Like, this, Hawkeye, Black Widow. Like, mm-hmm. I really dig it, honestly, because I really like the... I like that side of the MCU, like not just the MCU, but just like Marvel stuff in general. Like even like, for example, like Daredevil in right. She-Hulk is also very grounded. I actually, my favorite thing actually, I was watching this interview with Kevin Feige, and he said that she was interestingly talking about like street level superheroes, and he actually mentioned Spider-Man, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Okay, yeah.
So I think they're trying, that's what it seems like they're going to do with the next round of movies, is make it definitely more like grounded, not like multiverse stakes,
yeah? Right,
which I really like. I'm glad they're gonna do that. Also, the key, Daredevil better be in one of his movies. If not, what are they doing? I'm getting sidetracked.
It's okay, so was I. But so that is our phase 4 of the MCU. Spider-Man No Way Home, Falcon and the Winter Soldier, looking forward to Captain America New World Order, which is a million years away, but I can wait. No, I can't, but I have to. I am excited. Next will be, I guess, are we in phase 5?
Technically not yet.
Oh, okay.
it ends with, technically ends with the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special.
Oh, right.
I think what we could do is like basically do another episode and basically just talk about like the rest of it, or we could just do honestly one show like She-Hulk, or honestly we could just do a movie like Black Panther, which I'm very excited about.
But I'm not going to see it until it's on Disney Plus, so it comes out November. Okay.
2 months.
I won't see it until like January.
Yeah, January. It's honestly quite quick. Even Thor came out even quicker, I noticed. So honestly, it might come a little earlier than that.
Right? Maybe.
But maybe we'll see. But yeah, we can start like Phase 5 probably like next year, because technically that starts with
right.
Ant-Man.
Right. Okay. Ant-Man. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this is like the season finale. So then we'll take a break. Probably not as long as 4 months, but we can come back with, and we'll do a joint episode of She-Hulk or something, or maybe discuss a few shows, and get into that. But thanks for tuning in. Sorry about that little break. Not like you guys cared. Who listens to us, Samantha? That's it. So. Samantha and David? David, maybe? About that. Wow. Well, thank you, Sam. If you're listening to this, you need to message me our code word that I'm making up now, which is Red Robin. Yes. I don't know why. Who's that? I don't know. If you watch this and listen to this, message me Red Robin, so I know you did. Kyle, take us out.
Yeah. Okay, I will. Thanks for tuning in to our season 2 finale, where we covered a bit for phase 4 of the MCU. We'll be going on a break. Oh, wait.
sorry.
Technically speaking, we will be going on break for the summer. But we'll be back probably like in a month or in a few weeks to talk about some of the more Marvel stuff. And also just other shows we'll be watching. Maybe White Lotus. We'll see.
Yeah, I want to watch that.
Yeah, I really love the first season. But yeah, we'll be back to talk about some more film and TV soon. Before you turn us off, remember to follow our socials linked in the episode description. Catch you next time.